Welcome to the Create Influence podcast, where we talk about the impact of being uniquely you. We are going to be talking about really the power of weaving your personality into your content, thereby giving you the ability to gamify your community and create a much, much stronger and loyal community. That was a big, long sentence for what we're doing, but that's what we're doing today. I'm Laurie Petrucci.
And I'm David Foster.
And I'm excited about this topic because it's one that is near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. But I also have to admit something today. I'm going to tell you something that I've never
deep
really
and dark,
talked
huh?
about.
We're going to get deep and dark here.
Well, I don't know about dark. Well, a little bit dark. It makes me uncomfortable, I will say that, to actually say these words out loud. So I want you guys to become a master at really finding what we call audience triggers. And I want you to become a master at connecting with your community on a human personal level. And when you are creating valuable content where you are education based and where you're trying to provide value to your audience and help people accomplish something, oftentimes people get tripped up on the integration of your personality. And since this is all about being uniquely you and that impact that you'll have, we got to talk about it. We got to dig in. And so we are going to dig in right now. Okay, I'm stalling now because...
yes, because... Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about bacon.
Bacon. Let's talk about bacon.
So...
For those of you that can't see that are listening to the podcast, I'm wearing a shirt that says bacon on it in periodic tables.
Yes.
Yes.
So I have never talked about this in this format. So... Bacon, for 10 years, I was known by the name Callie Lewis. I did tech news and reviews, had a very, very, very popular show, had a lot of success with that show. And I early on talked about bacon, and I became known as David is like literally getting real comfortable just waiting for me to talk about this.
Yep, because the mic goes back here, I can sit like this now.
So I had became very, very well known for being a lover of bacon and coffee. And that was my thing as Callie Lewis. Like everybody equated Callie Lewis with bacon and coffee. And I would get things sent to me. I got presents sent to me all the time, like everything bacon you could possibly imagine that this world would come up with.
Coffee,
bacon,
all the time.
Coffee. Yeah. Yes, I got coffee, shipments of coffee from viewers, by the way.
I remember going to the freezer at the Geek House, and it was just packed full of coffee. And there was always coffee coming in.
We never paid for coffee because viewers just sent us gobs of coffee.
Salsa, because you were also known for your spice.
That's true. I loved spice, yeah. Which is true.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
That one is kind of
okay,
true.
Well, hold on. We haven't really talked about this yet. Okay. So there's bacon and bacon coffee, bacon gumballs, bacon Band-Aids, bacon, everything would come my way because, and here is...
Even bacon gum. I remember bacon gum.
Bacon gum. Oh, disgusting. I didn't even try half the stuff. Yeah. Because the truth is, I didn't actually love bacon or was obsessed with bacon as my audience thought I was.
Right.
And that is what I've never really said, is that this was... a thing that happened in my video career that I tapped into, and the reason, it wasn't really true to who I was, right? And so the reason that I want you guys to hear about this is because it shows you the power, but it also shows you like what can happen with it, right? So I once in a video, there was something, I think there was a gadget. So I talked about in this show, I talked about gadgets. Like, so I would cover like five new gadgets every show. And I would do, you know, 3 times a week, daily content, talking about just different gadgets that geeks could love and then buy. And sometimes they were crazy, sometimes they were funny, sometimes they were useful. And so one time I talked about this bacon gadget, I think, or I made a joke about bacon or something. It was a complete one-off in my brain. And then I saw the reaction from the audience. And the reaction was just a slew of comments. People would just, like, they reacted, right? And
well, that's because bacon brings the world together. I mean, it's a commonality between,
right?
You know, a lot of people love bacon and coffee. Like, it's two big things.
They do.
And tacos.
Well, we'll get to the tacos.
I know we'll get to the tacos.
We'll get to the tacos.
Because the tacos are real.
The tacos are actually real for David.
It's a real obsession. So it's not, I can't pretend to have obsession.
Right. And so.
I could, but.
When I saw the reaction, it was on social, it was in my comments on the video, it was a reaction that you had to just notice, right? And so as soon as that happened, I will be 1000% honest here. I saw it as an opportunity to engage with my audience in a fun, natural way because it was food. I mean, I like bacon. I'm not like a bacon hater or anything. Like, I like bacon, but I'm very particular about my
bacon.
She is.
I have seen her leave uneaten bacon on a plate at a restaurant and we've walked
out. If it is not super crispy, I won't eat it. And so that is, you know, that was the start of the bacon phenomenon. But it was a vital thing for you to realize in your own kind of world is that when you see this reaction that comes from your audience, you can tap into it in a major way. And what I did was tap into that. And so not all of my shows had bacon themes in them, but on many shows, I would talk about bacon, something or other. I would use humor to wrap a gadget into bacon. Or like for example, if I was talking about robots, which I talked about a lot because I do truly love robots. People know that I love robots. If I was talking about robots, I would make a joke of, but can it make bacon, right? Something like that. And so bacon was a constant theme as I talked about anything. And so sometimes I would do bacon only product shows, like, hey, here's a bunch of bacon gadgets or bacon things that you can buy for holidays or whatever. And so I just literally saw the reaction, tapped into that emotion that my audience was showing me, and I went with it. And, you know, while David would probably call that fake, I do feel a little like a sham because that's why I'm like hesitant to actually say those words, because it was never something that I just felt that passionate about. But I totally got into it as well because it was something that I could have just a ton of fun with in my content. And but beware, like, your viewers might start to sending you bacon. And I didn't know what to do with all the stuff, all the coffee and all the bacon that was showing up. I was like, oh my God, I just started giving it away. And so that is something I wanted to kind of be just 100% honest about, because you can now see the power of tapping into an emotion and a response from your audience. And it's something that can be incredibly, incredibly powerful, and you should do. Now, should you do it if it doesn't truly match who you are? Probably not.
Yeah, if it's like eating, I don't know, spinach, right, and you hate spinach, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think an Instagram person actually just got in trouble. Philip was telling me about this. An Instagram person just got in trouble for talking because she was all about vegetarian lifestyle, and then she got caught eating meat with some other Instagram person, and so that blew up, right? So if you're inauthentic about this,
right,
tapping into the emotion, it can go very wrong for you. Jason in the comments, because we're actually recording this podcast live, says bacon is the duct tape of the universe. And it is true. I was talking about bacon before it became a real big, huge thing online, but it now is just like a normal thing that everybody talks about, right? But I wanted you guys to kind of see this the importance of gamification. And that is what we call an audience trigger. And by tapping into it, I gamified the community and I gamified the experience. And so that is something to be very, very, very aware of in your own audience and your own community and your own content. It is 1000% okay and vitally important, I would say, that you create content that, if you're creating valuable content and you're trying to help people and you're trying to do how-tos or whatever, there's a line in certain like how-tos, right? If you're doing a how-to, like the other day I was looking up something on the Instant Pot. I wanted to know about, I was cooking for the week, right? So I needed to look something up really quickly about my Instant Pot. And I watched this how-to video. And literally the first 3 minutes was him talking about himself. And so that annoyed me. So there are times to leave it out. And there are many more times to integrate it into your lifestyle or into your content. So on the other hand, tacos. Tacos is the now and the here and now gamification that we use with our audience. I kind of left bacon and coffee behind along with Callie Lewis when I went to my real name. But tacos, you actually are really into tacos.
Like, I am.
This is not
it's legit.
Fake.
It is not fake. I would eat tacos for every meal.
Okay.
And so like over, so when we were on Twitch and now we're on Mixer, we can have tacos as our currency. And because I like it, I mean, there's so, tacos are like another bacon. It's a staple.
It's something that
everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people like. And there's so many different ways you can have them. And so it's something that so many people have in common that automatically when you say that your currency is tacos, people get excited.
Right.
You know, you do have people that don't like them.
And for those of you who are not familiar with the Twitch platform, on Twitch
and Mixer,
you can have a currency, a non-monetary currency, where people earn tacos or whatever you set it to be by watching and participating more in your channel. So that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. So it's like, because that's what we're talking about today, gamification. And it is basically a way to gamify your show.
Yeah.
Because you can sit there and while you're having your discussion and you're doing your content, people are earning tacos, they're gambling tacos,
right.
They're dueling tacos, they're stealing tacos. So all of the stuff that we can do to make it so that they can be interacting and doing things when you're in the meat of your content. And during engagement time, you're able to engage too and see what they're doing and having the GIFs come up on screen and the fireworks, like Mixer, I'm talking about specifically now, the fireworks popping up off on screen and things that happen over the top of the chat, it just makes it fun for people to get involved with. So it's like, I don't know, it's like going and hanging out with somebody that you like and then just having a party around it.
Right.
Because if you look at Facebook and YouTube, they're trying to be these other platforms.
They are.
They're trying so hard to put that gamification in. Now, the only problem is they are coming at it, you know, they didn't build it from the core. So they're having to build it on top, and they're struggling,
right?
Because
it's not as easy to do,
right?
And so, and they also have multiple types of audiences to consider, and so even if you can't gamify through these platforms, if you're not on a platform that has these types of gamification options, you can actually gamify your experience with your audience by having conversations around it, right? Think back to the way I talked about bacon. I was able to, talk about bacon and in relation to the content itself and ask people questions and bring up people's comments. I would reread people's comments and it was a conversation about bacon. For example, on tacos, you had a 2-hour two-hour live show where you literally talked about tacos. And
yeah, we started our own cult, actually.
We started our own taco cult. A taco cult.
We even in our Discord had a Tacos Anonymous for people who are highly addicted. So
those are like really good things to do with mm-hmm. your audience is build this structure around them so that they have a place to enjoy that trigger.
Right. And it was a lot of fun. So, and those of you that are listening, if you want to check it out and see what it's about, if you go to mixer.com/impartialgeek, you can do that. And we do this live on YouTube and all the socials. So if you want to follow us and come watch us record the podcast live, we do that on Mondays. We don't generally, we're not putting a time necessarily on it right now because we're going to try to be shooting them out and about, like the first one we recorded out in the park. But
and sometimes we'll have guests, so we have to match it to their schedule as
right.
well.
So if you guys are watching live right now, you're welcome to come over to the Mixer channel. If somebody wants to post a link, it's mixer.com/impartialgeek. But you guys can come over there and start earning tacos and see how the gamification can work. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Another thing about, you know, adding your personality into it, especially when you have co-hosts. This is one thing that you and I do really well, is play off of the gamification, mm-hmm. right? So you love tacos, and that's hands down true. I like tacos. I totally love tacos, but I'm not gonna want them every day. That's for sure. Like you would, you literally probably would eat tacos or hamburgers every
right.
day.
So, I would.
What I do in the content itself is actually think, how can I over-exaggerate my response to this? And that's one of the things that you can do with your audience to engage them is over-exaggerate. So I will kind of play up the annoyed thing mm-hmm. with you. Like, oh my God, we have to go get tacos again today? Really?
Yes.
Like, whereas in reality, if we weren't doing content, I would probably be like, well, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be a big deal. But I over-exaggerate those expressions or the reactions to his taco love, and that gets the audience
taco
more
love.
Involved.
My taco love.
Okay, Barry White. So I, you know, we'll play along with that. And then the audience also plays along with it. So if they feel more like me, they'll kind of be on my side. If they are definitely totally into tacos like you are, David, then they will be like, oh, Larry, come on, go get tacos. Right. So it creates pieces or potential for engagement. And so we wanted to kind of give you some tools here to play off of that, what we call triggers, which is the tacos or the bacon or, you know, it's all food around here, but it doesn't have to be food.
Well, it usually is.
It often is food. It doesn't have to
be. No,
it
doesn't have to be. So like there are people that use other things for triggers, for sure. Like Katie uses cats.
Yes.
You know, there's things like that. And spatulas or whatever, spoons or something. Like just
any utensil really for her because she cooks. And so Katie
pizza
is
cutters.
A...
Pizza cutters.
Pizza cutters. That's right. So Katie, for reference here, is a Twitch streamer and a friend of ours. And she games. But, and she actually, this is interesting because she does not even show her face while she's gaming. Mm-hmm. However, she talks.
IRLs.
Well, she IRLs and stuff. And so she's weaving in her personality. And so one of the things that her audience knows really well about her is that she can't cook and that she eats whatever food she has with like whatever utensils she has at the moment. If something isn't clean, she won't clean that. She'll eat something that you're supposed to eat, steak with a spoon or something like
right.
that. She like, how do you even do that? But she does that. So those are things that are just her personality, and her audience knows it because she talks about it. And so Katie is another perfect example of the personality mixing with her content in a way that's natural and organic mm-hmm. and gets engagement.
And then she builds the emotes around those.
Correct.
Which also which brings it so that... So the cool thing about Twitch and Mixer is when you have triggers like that, so we've got the tacos, the bacon, and stuff like that, when you reach certain levels, because you actually level up, you get more emotes, and then you can use those emotes on other people's channel, and then those people see that taco emote or that bacon emote, and they're like, holy cow, what is that? Well, you get that from this channel. Then that's a reason for them, because you get those from actually paying, from subscribing. So you can subscribe to get those emotes, and then you can use them all over the platform. Mm-hmm. And it's a people love it because it's a way that through somebody else, I'm able to express myself.
Yeah.
So if I'm somebody who likes tacos and I'm part of this community that's really big on tacos, I go to another community, I share something, I share my taco emote, and they're like, oh my gosh, we love tacos too. Where did you get that emote? That's so cool. Well, that's over on the Impartial Geek channel. Oh my gosh, I need to go over there and check it out, because then it's like, you know, you like tacos.
Well, let's talk about another way that you could do that if you're on a platform that doesn't have emotes, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about t-shirts? Somebody asked in the chat room as we're recording this live, because David is wearing a bacon t-shirt right now. you could integrate these triggers or these things into merchandise that your audience can buy. And that's a show of support for them. They love to do those kinds of things. But it's not playing to the platform itself.
Right. Yeah. You can. And then and there's also gifts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There. But yeah, I get that. But I think it's more because, like, if you think about it, when you're building a community, it's like the taco currency.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I really liked it on Twitch, but like the things that you can do on Mixer, like being able to steal, right?
Yeah.
So being able to steal somebody else's tacos, then it becomes like this. I don't know. It's just like
the game gets deeper,
right? And there's this thing called Hitman, where you get a hitman, and the hitman is sent in, and you got to type the name. Got to be the first one to type the name to kill the hitman. And it's just, I don't know. There's just a lot of things that make it so that people are excited to come in and come back and watch your stream because they look forward to that, to doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to build a real, like solid audience. Because you're going in there and you're all just – because here's the thing. Anything that you can do to help people get away from the mundane of life, like just to get away from all the overwhelm they're feeling on a daily basis with all the news and all the hate and everything that's out there. And I mean, there's a lot of good still, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And if you can give people, you know, 3 hours of their day that they can get away from that, completely forget about it, and just connect with other people that have similar interests and – earn tacos and earn bacon and all that other stuff. It's just it's a really good way to connect with people on a really deep level. And I like that. I prefer doing that live than doing recorded video. Because I am so much better to just sit down and go live and connect with people in real time and have conversations than I am to try to make a video and pull conversation out of people later.
Right.
So you're going back and reading comments. I like the real time engagement.
Oh, totally. I mean, that's why we have our business live streaming pros, because we both love live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we thrive on live, as I say.
Thrive on live.
And so, live absolutely allows you to do that. But I will point out that as Callie Lewis and back in the day with the bacon stuff, that was all recorded. Well, not all recorded video. I had a live component on a weekly basis. But my main thing where all of those videos that I was giving you examples of, that was all on recorded video. And I was pulling out the comments after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done either way. It doesn't have to just be on live.
Right.
So,
It can. But I prefer live.
Yeah, of course.
It's more fun live.
Stuart says the taco god is false because you were saying that that you were talking about the cult.
I never said it was false. I said we created a cult. What part of that says it's false? I never said that. Stuart, you're putting words in my mouth.
That's hilarious. So that should give you a concept or an idea of things that you can do in your own content to bring your personality out.
Carissa from YouTube had a question. How do you feel about leaving goals on the screen perpetually, such as donations, subscriber, viewer goals? I haven't done this yet, but I've seen other streamers do it. I think anything that you can do to bring your community into goals like
your
that.
Your world.
Yeah, because it's not – you're not setting a goal for yourself. You're setting a goal for your whole community. And when you do that right, when you're in there and you're connected with people, they will help you reach your goals. And it's them reaching a goal too. It's not like you can think that it's just your goal, But if you do it the right way, it's not. It's the community's goal, and everybody works together. And that's what I love about live streaming and what's going on in the streaming world.
Yeah.
Is you've got people that are rallying around each other for common goals and common interests. And so it's like you have the people who don't really want to stream. They want to be entertained. And you have the people who want to stream and you know, aren't really in a lot of other places. So it's like you've got this world coming together, and now that you can gamify it. And I was just looking on my Mixer app today, and I noticed that you get XP, and you're like this is kind of geeky for those of you that aren't geeky, but you get XP and you kind of level up and stuff like that. And it's really cool how they gamify every aspect of the platform. Everything that I do on there, I'm getting either points, I'm getting sparks, and all this other stuff that I can use to support streamers. So Mixer gives you a fake currency called sparks, but I can go into any streamer, I can use those sparks, and once those sparks all go up and help them reach a goal, they make real money from that. So it's a great way to get people, you know, behind a common thing. And I think that I think we're going to see a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. Because of how much people are really enjoying
yeah.
it. Like I said, it just gives them an escape for a while.
And let's talk about how you do that, right? How you make it not just about you, because that's an important aspect of this.
Yeah, so, it cannot be about you.
No, it's not like, hey, I want a new motorcycle. Help me get my new motorcycle, right? Like,
well, you can get people behind a goal, even if it is kind of more self-serving, if you've built your community that way. And it doesn't have to be self-serving in a way that's like, hey, look at me, I'm going to get like if I were to have my community help me buy a Ferrari, that's different.
Right.
Than if I was having them help me buy an RV for me to travel around
and show them cool stuff
and create
because
more
it's
content.
About them.
Right. If
right.
it's something that's
going
to lend to content mm-hmm. and lend to their experience, then it makes sense. But
exactly.
If it's something that doesn't lend to their experience, then it's a little bit, you know, help me buy this mansion.
Right.
So we can have parties.
So that you can look at me and think, you know.
Yeah. So that you can compare me to Ty Lopez or whatever his name is.
Oh, dropping names now. Okay. But when you think about how you present that information, it's about the words it's literally about the words that you use, right? So using we versus me. That's something as super simple as that will go huge long way in terms of making it something that the audience actually appreciates and wants to support you with. Telling people, showcasing, creating a story and about why this goal that you have is going to, like David said, lead them to better content or
more
to a better experience.
Yeah.
And so telling the story and not just assuming they know can go a huge long way to making a difference in terms of their support of you. So it's really truly about the words that you use and the way you present it, not to be manipulative in any way. We would never, ever, ever suggest that. But it's about communication, proper communication, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you get the word you or me out of your brain and it's truly about a community effort
it's we.
And so think about like, okay, so I want to get this motorcycle so I can run around, so I can drive around the state and show you guys cool stuff if that's your thing. And you say so that like one thing that you can do is bring in a community member at that point in your story, right? So like Marissa was saying the other day she wanted to see, she had never been to XYZ place.
Spain.
Well, guess what? If I could go there in this motorcycle, because you can get there from the U.S. in a motorcycle.
If you ship it on
example.
A boat, you can. Ride it up onto a ship, ship it over.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, if you're telling this story about what it means to you, what it means to the community at large, and you weave people's stories of things you already know about them into it, it creates this much bigger community feel, and everybody is going to get behind that because you're in it for them. You're not in it for you.
Right. And they'll know that. They will know that.
Yeah. It's got to be true to your heart, right? It's got to be, it's not something you can fake. People
right.
spot that a million
like you,
miles
there's
away.
No way you can fake liking bacon and coffee. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
There's
I can't
no
believe
way.
You just said that.
You know?
Okay, you just, yep, Took me down a notch there. No, I guess you can fake it.
Yep.
Okay, then I don't know. Yeah. Oops. I'm just hitting the mic and everything.
Yeah,
now.
You can. You can totally
I'm just
fake
fumbling
it.
Fumbling around right now.
But like we said, it wasn't completely fake because you did like it. It's like yeah. It would be totally fake if I was saying, hey, you guys, I want to do a thing around kumquats. All right, let's make kumquats. We're going to go get some more kumquats today. I'm starving for kumquats. And I'm get off. I'm like, I freaking hate kumquats. Because the thing is, like, if you set that bar, there will come a time when you meet people from your community and you will go to eat or mm-hmm. something. And they're like, hey, bacon. And you're like, yeah. Or hey, kumquats. Yeah, I don't really like them. What?
You can never
your
utter
name's
those
not
words.
Callie? What?
Right. What happened to me with the bacon and the coffee that I was explaining to you earlier is exactly like how people get into collections, right? So they might say something, or one person gives them a frog for Christmas, frog little thing that to sit on their shelf at their home. And then all of a sudden you become the frog lady.
Yep.
And everybody's giving you frogs because you have this one thing that somebody randomly gave you. It's sitting there and everybody assumes that you're the frog lady and that you love frogs. And so now you have a collection of frogs.
This happens to me actually because of my love for Captain America and the shield and everything.
Yes.
Because of the nostalgic value, people assume I read comics.
Yes.
So I get comics.
Well, I mean, you have a tattoo of Captain America on your...
I know. But I do not read. Come here. Come on, get up here. Good girl.
On your arm. I wasn't not saying where, just because it was.
Yeah.
Like,
so I get that, even though I don't read comics. It's not disingenuous because I love Captain America, but people, like, I had somebody give me comics, you know, two comics. And I really appreciate it. It's really cool because they're old comics. The one is from, like, early 70s or something. I mean, it's an old comic, and I really, really appreciate it. And that I do, you know. I can see as a collector's item because of my set and everything, but people just assume that I read them.
Yeah. So hopefully that gives you some ideas, some things to go off of, and definitely think about your own personality. Think about the things that you do in your own life, things that you think about, that you talk about with your friends, that you, your hobbies, mm-hmm. all of those things that fuel your life and your personality.
Well, and just watch for those triggers
too. Mixed into your content.
Watch for those triggers. Watch for your community to say things that you might like. For instance, D and Nick, they eat M&Ms while they're on live, right?
Yeah,
the peanut M&Ms, uh-huh. And it's become a thing.
Right,
their community talks about it. There's
again back to the food. Food is so easy because everybody loves food. You're not gonna make anybody mad at you for food, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's one of those things that if you pay attention, you'll see those triggers happening in your community. And most of the time it's happening because of the things you're saying, the things you're doing, the things you're doing on screen, the things you're saying on screen or whatever is what creates those triggers. But you have to pay attention to see when they're getting on some.
Yes, that is a very good point because you it's not going to just happen. You have to pull it out. That is the key here. I'm glad you said that because it's a big missing piece for a lot of people is that it's happening in their communities. Mm-hmm. They're just not paying any attention.
Right.
And they're not tapping into it. If you notice what I said at the very beginning when I was talking about the bacon, I literally said bacon once. It was a joke. It was a thing that I talked about, right? It was just a one-off. And then when I saw that reaction... That's when I tapped into it and I kept the conversation about bacon going over and over and over and over. And that keeps the conversation on the comments over and over and over and over. So you have to take control over that in order to get it.
Well, and like Carissa's saying, my community decided to call themselves potato chips. So now that's a thing.
That's awesome.
And that's how it happens.
Yes.
And so then you've got like all these things happen where, okay, now they're potato chips. Now you've got potato chip emojis. Now you've got potato chip t-shirts. And you've got this movement of your own with your little community. You know, all you
need
is this little.
Identify themselves.
Yes. You just need this little community of people that identify with you. And that is enough to, you know, sustain you really.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is, like, if you're not taking advantage of that, and it doesn't matter what industry or what kind of content you're creating, you want to kind of take advantage of that. And then one thing I wanted to say too is like when I was setting up Twitch for the currency thing, I didn't have that trigger, but I just knew tacos mm-hmm. would be popular because everybody loves tacos. Yeah. So I just did that on my own. I created that trigger myself.
Okay.
Just based on the fact that I love tacos. and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it with tacos and we'll see what happens. And then some people were like, oh, you should have used bacon.
I was like, you should have used bacon.
But my argument was, how do you have plural bacons? If somebody is in your community, right? And I want you to answer me this right now, right?
Oh,
live.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
Live.
We're on a podcast.
I know we're on a podcast, but
it could be edited.
I mean, answer me in real time on the podcast, live in front of people, both ways. Answer me. If the currency would be bacon and people would sit there and win currency while they're watching, when it said, hey, this person has won 6 bacon. What in that instant, when it says 6 bacon, what is a bacon?
A piece of bacon, a slice of bacon.
A piece, right. So it should be pieces of bacon or pounds of bacon or strips of bacon, but not just bacon. Because if I were to ask you, okay, let's say you go to the grocery store and you get 3 pounds of bacon.
Yes.
And you put it in the fridge. And I'm like, how much bacon is in there? You're not going to be like, 6 bacon. Right? It's got to be like 12 strips of bacon or 1 pound of bacon. So you can have pounds of bacon, strips of bacon.
When the community speaks, though, and they said, we don't care about that little minute detail.
But I do. Right? It would drive me nuts every time I saw it on screen. Hey, Joe has 6 bacon. What are 6 bacon? Pieces? What is it? Riddle me that. Please tell me what it is.
Carissa's potato chips community.
Chips.
Carissa.
You've got 6 potato chips. It makes sense.
But then they call chips. They just, like, maybe they just, like, take off the potato and just call themselves chips.
But even so, it's plural.
No!
They got 6 chips. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't mind doing pounds of bacon. I really wouldn't. But if you do pounds, LBS, well, it's not the same over in the UK. It's not universal.
That's true.
Right? So then I'd have to figure out, well, do we do kilograms of bacon? No, we could do strips of bacon, right? Or okay. Slices of bacon.
Okay, we've gone off the deep end here. Let's get back on track.
See, Pet Rock Media. David, I can 1,000,000% agree with you. My obsessiveness would not let me think properly seeing just bacon. I'm on your side, my friend. Thank you, Pet Rock Media. I figured you would be. But yeah, do you understand? I mean, it's like...
I do understand. I understand. I just don't care because it's bacon.
But so on Mixer, though, we do have tacos and bacon. But bacon is a rank now. So you're a bacon eater or a baconator or a bacon king. So as a rank, it fits.
Okay. So I want to pick up on what?
Nothing.
Are you done?
Yeah.
We're coming back to the edits.
It's the little things.
You have to think about the edits. Poor Philip.
Poor Philip indeed.
Philip is 50. Our editor, by the way.
All right, back to the podcast, Philip.
Okay, so Petra actually said in the live chat room, let's not talk about alcohol then. But, and I get her point, that's a good joke. Like, if you talk about alcohol, all of a sudden you got to drink all this time, right?
Well, you can't.
You got to drink.
Actually.
What?
So on these platforms.
Okay, we're going in a different direction than I intended, but sure.
Well, no, because on these platforms, you cannot drink for sparks or bits or anything like that.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So, or you can't do anything that, like, can be harmful with bits or anything like that. So you can't be encouraged to do that. So that would be a bad trigger to use on these platforms just because of the way they had it set up. Now, you can drink. You can have whatever. You can drink. You can do all that stuff. But to do it before reward is what you can't do.
So that's what not to do. That's a very good point. What I was going to say to do is like Chris Ducker, actually, that's a thing. So he loves scotch. I think it's scotch. Maybe another drink, but I should probably know that. But he loves scotch, and his audience knows how much he loves scotch. And so he gets gifts of scotch all the time. And that's a trigger for his audience, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, he will drink. And so.
Well, and that's different. Like, sitting down and drink, like, saying, hey, guys, it's Friday night, you know, Friday night scotch night. Let's all sit down, have a glass of scotch or wine or whatever.
Let's go live and let's do have that. A discussion.
Or, yeah. Completely different. And that's totally cool.
So good ways to bring in something like alcohol as a trigger, positive and negative. So you literally can't do that as a
reward
gamification or reward on those platforms like Mixer and Twitch, but you can integrate it into your into your personality, into your content.
Right. Exactly. So Paul Dixon in the live chat on YouTube asked, what happens if your community picks up things you don't want picked up on, like yawning, for example, because Luria is a yawner live.
It's a good one. So, yeah, I yawn a lot, apparently, while I'm going to yawn.
And then you're going to make me yawn.
So there was a time when that was a thing. Like, everybody would count my yawns on my live show. Because I just couldn't stop yawning. And it didn't matter how much sleep I got. It didn't matter. I don't know what it was. Something about being under the lights or so. I don't know why I yawn so much while
I'm live. Maybe because of lack of sleep?
No, I said it doesn't matter how much sleep I got. If I was fully rested or not. But anyway, that is something that can happen, is that your audience will pick up on that. And at that point, this is a really good conversation to have. That point, if it's something you don't want, my reaction to that, and my reaction is I will give you a lot more willing to make a fool of myself than most people creating content will do, right? So most people creating content don't want to make a fool of themselves or don't want to embrace their
bad stuff. I don't agree with that, because a lot of the content creators I watch have their things. They have their things that that people make fun of them for.
Well, I guess
like iJustine being clumsy, like, and she'll say it. Yes. Linus Tech Tips owns his problems.
That's interesting. It's the people I'm thinking of are marketers. They're in the marketing world.
Yeah, the marketing world.
That is a major point of struggle for them.
That again comes back to the fact that they're scared to not be professional. They're scared that if they humanize themselves and they show their what they might consider in the marketing world a weakness, that they're not going to have the same results. Where I say that is completely backward thinking, because if you look at, so there's a reason that influencer marketing is growing.
Yes.
And it's because influencers are real. They own their flaws.
Yeah.
They own their, you know, all of that stuff. They have the triggers. They do all this stuff that professionals aren't willing to do because they're trying to stay behind this veil that they think they have to stand behind. Because people will judge them. And you're right, they will, but they will judge them in a more honest way than if they're putting out stuff that is basically fake. And it's like, I just really feel like that's why those people are starting to fail more and more and more. Right. And influencers are succeeding more and more is because they are just being human.
1,000,000%. That is the difference, is you've got to just be okay. You know, I yawn. I don't know what to say about that. I just make fun of myself right along with my audience when they bring something up that isn't necessarily perfect of me. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and that's just something that you have to embrace and that you have to play into, because your audience loves it. They're not pointing out your flaws because, and this is very, very important, if you're kind of multitasking, I want you to hear this. They are not pointing out your flaws because they want to make fun of you or tear you down.
Well,
they're pointing out your in this fun
in YouTube comments.
In this fun way of like community engagement.
Right. As long as it's an established community and
correct. What they are doing is they are pointing out your flaws, like yawning. That's not really a flaw, but like it's not something I would love to highlight. But they're pointing that out because they love that you are human just like them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so right along with what you were talking about with being human, and that's why influencers are succeeding so much these days. That is the thing that it's all about. And so if you as a content creator embrace that humanness, the audience gets together, you get together with it, it becomes this thing. And then, to be honest, when they meet you in person, they feel like they know you, mm-hmm. which is freaks some people out, but just embrace it. And when they do, it's just an immediate connection. It's just a, like your old friends at that point. Right. That's the way I approach it, at least. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, Nick, or D. Nimmin in the comments.
You just called D his brother.
Well, I saw that. You look over and you see the N. It's just a natural.
Poor D.
Sorry, D. But he said, how many times have you heard people say, he's just a normal guy?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you don't. Because if you're just a normal guy, you know, you're mm-hmm. just like, you're not really, it's different.
Wait, you're saying it's just not, he's just a normal guy isn't said because... You have to call it out that he's not normal.
No,
is that
because
what you're
people don't connect. People don't connect with just a normal, like everyday, regular.
Yes, they do.
No, they.
Isn't that the point?
Well, no. Maybe I'm misreading it. How I'm reading that is he's just a normal guy, like somebody who's just not really doing anything. Explain that, D. So I can answer you correctly because I thought I read that the right way.
I think he's saying the opposite, which is he's just a normal guy. Like, that's why we love him. It's a human connection. He's just like me.
That could be.
There's so much to this conversation, but the vulnerability, the willing to embrace your flaws, the willing to play into the content, all of these things are massive lessons. And when you get it right, that will be what helps you succeed in creating a really super engaged community and a long-term loyal fan base. I say these in my air quotes right now.
These are air quotes.
Wow.
They look more like bunnies.
So you want to... Because I hate the word fans, but
right.
I don't believe in building fan base.
Oh, more,
I
build, okay, more relatable. Oh, no. That's what Carissa said. That's not D.
Dude, you're screwing up the podcast edit.
No, I'm not. Because that can be part of it. That doesn't have to be cut out.
Okay, I guess we're leaving it in.
Those of you that are listening to the podcast, understand that we do these live as well. So if you want to come
David
engage in the
separate.
Conversation. No, but we don't need to separate. If you come over and you want to join the conversation in real time, come on over to, well, just find us on social. Live Streaming Pros or Impartial Geek, whatever you want to find, come and check it out.
You have to be willing to laugh at yourself and just have fun being human, Jack says. And there we go. So I do hope that you are fully subscribed to this in whatever application you like to listen to your podcasts. And definitely if you're on Anchor, you can actually send us messages
yes,
that we can
been
put
some.
Into
Thank
the
you.
Podcast. We have? You haven't shown me. I am logged in, so I should be here getting the notifications myself. But thank you so much for those of you who are leaving us messages. We love to hear from you directly. Podcasting is one of those things that
I
want to
bring in what Dee said so we can
that conversation.
So
finish
he said,
that conversation.
I meant when people see your flaws, it makes that connection someone you might want to hang out with or have a beer with.
Exactly.
So yeah humanizes them. Okay. I thought he was just saying people don't want to connect with just like boring, like, oh, he's just a boring business guy that's talking about, because I have seen, I was watching the other day, this person is putting out these little training videos and they're literally like, and then you want to take this and turn it over to this side and that's going to make it so that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh my gosh.
That's where the over exaggeration comes.
There's no
play.
Exaggeration at all.
No, I'm saying where it would help.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, if that's your personality and let's say you're talking about.
No, there
about,
are people that watch that.
Yes,
there are.
There are people who love that because they're just the same way. Mm-hmm. You just got to be you and you're not going to attract everybody. People, I always say, because I'm like, people kind of view me. I hear this all the time. They think that I have it easy because people just love me. Like that people literally tell me, well, you've got it easy. You know, all this on camera stuff. People just love you. People don't love me. Like there are tons of people who hate me out there in the YouTube online world. And I'm not trying to attract them. I'm not. That's why I have it easy, is that I know that I'm never going to attract everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I don't try.
Esben is saying, all the magic in the shit that is corny because you all look the same. If you all are playing up to the same standards to what is cool and what's good, stupid computer. and what's good content, you end up all looking the same.
Oh, quote by Gary V. Mm-hmm. Gary Vaynerchuk. All magic lives in the shit of this is corny because you all look the same. Yeah. So, yeah, be you and separate yourself. Separate being, you know, your uniqueness. That's what this whole thing is about, right?
And don't go out of your way to be different, because just being you, you're going to be different.
Right. That's just the thing. Try and be the same is the
right,
point.
Right. Don't try to be Gary Vaynerchuk. Don't try to be D. Niman. Don't try to be Esben. Don't try to be somebody else. Sure, you can take things you learn from them and pull them into your own. Like, for instance, a video editing style. You know, Chris really loves Peter McKinnon and Maddie Hapoya and their editing style. And you can see their influence in his editing. It's just like the Beatles. There are so many freaking bands that you can hear the Beatle influence in their music, but they're not trying to be the Beatles, you know, and they end up getting their own crowd and their own popularity. But if you try to be somebody else, people will call you out on it. I mean, yeah. You don't want to do that. You want to be you.
That's potentially a good topic for a show all in and of itself, is the, you know, copy versus allowing influence.
Right. Copy, right? Versus emulate.
Yeah. We should do it. We should do an entire topic about that.
Yeah, because that is important. Because I think people, you know, when you see somebody that's successful, you just feel like, well, gosh, I got to do exactly that, because that formula worked for that person.
Right.
But I'm of the opinion that that formula does not work for everybody. It worked for that person because of their personality, and you're not going to be able to be that person.
Right.
So don't try. If you just be yourself, then you're going to be able to be consistent, because that's who you are. So you don't have to do this, like, you know, shit where you're trying to, like, you know, oh, Gary V did this, I'm going to give that. That's one thing that drives me absolutely insane, is when I see Gary Vaynerchuk giving this great advice. He's got hundreds of thousands of views on the video. And then you see this person that tries to give the same advice in their own way with, like, 2 views. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to be Gary. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't have the experience, you don't have all of the know-how to be able to do that yet. You're if you're not influencing people the way he does and saying those things to help those people be better influencers, you're not influencing anybody. So you therefore you're speaking on something you know nothing about. That drives me insane when people do that, when they're trying to deliver information that I know they know nothing about, trying to make a mark in the marketplace. Like, and there's one person specifically that has their own event that does this, and it drives me insane because they think they are that person. They think they are Gary Vee, and they are not. So whereas the person is a likable person, knowing them in person and in private, they are the person that people would follow, but they put out this persona. Yeah. You know, so I don't know.
It's a constant effort to stay in check with yourself and make sure that you are putting you into your own content and not copying. Like, I do this thing. It's interesting. I have always done this thing where I almost adopt people's facial expressions. So mm-hmm. if I hang out with people who are very very expressive in their face in interesting kind of unique ways, like Fielding, my sister, if I hang out with her for a week, I notice that when I come home, I'm actually doing her facial expressions and things like that, right? So I just kind of absorb those things when I'm around people. And so, you know, if a lot of people do that when they're paying attention to their favorite content creators in their style or the way they talk or these different ways of adapting.
Sometimes I'll say, blah, 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 let's just jump into it, which I get from Philly D, right?
Right.
Philip DeFranco. Because I watch him every day.
Right. There's sometimes where it just gets absorbed.
Yeah, I don't do it intentionally. I'm just like, okay, blah, blah, blah. Now let's just jump into it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's Philip DeFranco. So it's like, I'm not like
it's not
trying
purposeful
to be him. Right.
But that's the thing, is that's why I'm saying, like, that's why this podcast exists, because we want to make sure that we're staying in constant check with ourselves to make sure that we are being uniquely us, and that we are wrapping all of our content and our business in terms of what we are and not what we're absorbing from others. Absorption is vital for success, for sure, but it has to be absorbed then adapted for you. Mm-hmm. Right? So all of that is worth an entirely new discussion on a new podcast. But yeah, so let's wrap this up. This baby.
We're going to wrap babies up in swaddling clothes. Let's wrap this baby up in swaddling clothes. What the hell are you talking about? Wrap this baby
Actually,
up.
I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Aspen, Uh-oh. We need to... This podcast is getting really long, even though it was supposed to be pretty short.
It doesn't have to be. We go till we're done.
I know.
We don't set time limits, so don't be... Well, we better wrap it up. That's about time to go. Well, we better...
No, I'm just trying to keep us on track so that Philip has something to know how to edit.
We're perfectly on track.
I'm the planner here, if you can't tell.
She is. I'm the talker here.
So... Esben is actually asking a really good question in the chat room. Have you two always been able to not be contrived? So that's a great topic of discussion. I actually have been asked this a few times and thought, wow, that's worth a conversation. So I always have, interestingly enough, because when I first got started with video, well, I guess you could take this two different ways. on one hand, in terms of...
Because of Callie Lewis?
Yeah, because of Callie Lewis.
Her name was Callie Lewis.
My whole career was contrived. No. But so from the name perspective and the bacon and all of that we've been talking about today, I guess like a lot of that was contrived. But from my personality, the reason that I've had to work through this, because honestly, and this is supposed to be a vulnerable, you know, show, so I'll just say this. When I got divorced and when I left my business partner, I had to work through, like, why was I successful? Because I was being told by people who had worked with me in my career that I was only successful because of them. And so I had to really work through, was it their piece that made me successful, or was it me, or was it a combo, or whatever? And obviously it's always a combo. There's always some combo in there. But the thing that I was going to say was that the reason that I was successful was because of my personality at the core, right? And the way I communicated with my audience and the way I interacted with my audience.
What I was going to say is, like, if you knew better how to pay attention to what was actually going on, you would have known the answer to that, because all of the advertisers that came because they wanted you.
Yes.
All of the deals came in that wanted to work with you. Mm-hmm. The community wanted to be with you. Mm-hmm. You know, there were certain people that were on the other side that liked both. But for the most part, you know, it was all because of you. So that just should have proved that.
Well, but when you're in the thick of it, you don't necessarily know these things,
no,
right?
No, I think you did know it.
I had a major problem trusting my gut, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to know.
At the end of the day, you knew how powerful your community was for you.
So, right.
I mean, at the end of the day.
And so, but I say all of that because that's the answer to the question, is that for me, the vulnerability or the openness to be myself and like my embrace my flaws and to not be contrived and to just tell the audience like it is and just be warm and loving on the audience like I am, that was never a hard thing for me to do. Just one, because I love people. I love people. That's just who I am. And I'm very empathetic and caring. And then secondly, I will say the biggest thing that caused me to not have an issue with being vulnerable is that when I started, I was in the beginning of the podcasting world, right? And so in the early days, 2005, 2007, those early days, even probably up to 2008 or so, we were a really tight-knit community. Everybody knew each other. And back in the early days, when it came to podcasting, I had to, you know, we had to hand code our RSS feeds. If you don't even know what RSS is, don't even worry about it. But it's the technology behind delivering you this podcast, right? So I had to hand code all of that. We were trying to all figure it out together as this tight-knit community. And what happened in that community was that we were sharing constantly. We were saying, hey, I did this thing and it didn't work. Hey, here's something I tried randomly and it worked really well. Hey, how do I accomplish this? Oh my God, I'm so screwed. I don't know what to do right now. And the community would come and support it, right? Support you. It's not like it is today where everybody's kind of fending for themselves. It feels like there was a really tight-knit community. And for me, I feel like that set a bar of just openness, vulnerability, and willing to share all. And so for me, it's never been a difficult thing. So now I'll shut up and let you answer that question. Okay. Like, which was, you don't even remember the original question. I talked so much. Oh my God. The question.
Just about being contrived?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I have never been able to, you know, like I wouldn't know how to be.
Yeah, that's one of your power strengths.
I would really have to go out of my way to try. I mean, so
can I point this out? Because you, when you say that, it's like to the nth degree in terms of you versus everybody else in this world. Like, you cannot be contrived. I would love for you as my boyfriend to
Are we?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Good news, or bad news, depending on how you look at it. So, no, as I would say, as my boyfriend, I would love for you to actually change, like not change, but to.
Well, where are we going? Where is this going?
I would love for you to adjust certain things in public or with other people, you know, to be a little bit, just tiny bit contrived in certain ways when it's like helpful.
Well, give me an example.
I can't even think of an example. I'm trying.
Yeah, give me, because I don't know what, like.
Okay, well, I guess it's stuff like.
Like, I should wear pants when we go out?
No, it's stuff like. Okay, like when we have dinner with friends scheduled and you just don't want to, or my family, and you just decide all of a sudden you don't want to. Like, to me, that would be an okay contrived thing, is to pretend like you're happy to be out with friends or family, right? And so, but if you, like, the whole point of this is that you are so incapable of being contrived that it's just like, hey, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to feel like it, and I'm not going to do it. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
I'm totally rambling here, but I'm trying to make a point.
It does. It does. And you're talking about sacrificing a little bit, and I feel like I do sometimes.
Right.
Because if it were completely up to me, I'd probably never leave the house.
Right.
I am definitely a introvert.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't know it because I stream. I can be very social and everything, but I'd rather be home on the computer or being live. Like, that is why,
yeah,
that is why I like live so much, because it's where I actually feel comfortable. I feel comfortable on live video, just hanging out with people, talking, laughing, joking, and all that other stuff. More so than I do in a physical social situation, mm-hmm, where we're out and dealing with real people. I mean, I know I'm dealing with real people on live, but you know, they can't eat me.
Nobody's gonna eat you out.
I don't know
in the
that.
Real
they
world.
Might. They might. You don't know. You put yourself out there, you go to somebody's house, next thing you know, you're in a pot and you are being served up to their real friends.
What? Oh my God. Pet Rock Media says you're his spirit animal.
That's awesome, Pet Rock. But you know what I mean? Like, I get what you're saying, and it's like, I just feel like there's, I think it's too much people change and try to be something that they're not to placate other people. And I don't mean I'm like placating you or as a negative thing, but I just don't. I always want you to know where I stand. Because,
oh, and I do.
Yeah. Because I want people to know where I stand. I always want people to know where I stand, because then if I – so the thing is, if I – like you said, if you take the little – butterfly that somebody gets you, or the frog.
Yeah.
You take the frog and you pretend to like the frog. Then everybody thinks you like the frog, and all of a sudden you got a bunch of shitty little frogs in your place. You know what I mean? And you've set yourself up as the frog guy. Then eventually you're going to get to a point where you have to deal with it. And you're going to be like, look, I hate frogs, you guys. I hate frogs. Thank you. I was happy, but I placated you all for this long because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I would rather risk hurting feelings first in order not to put myself in a situation where then I'm lying to them.
Yeah.
Because that's lying. Pretending that I like frogs just because right? Everybody's getting me frogs now. That's lying.
Yeah.
You know, it's not being who you are. And I kind of get that you know, there are situations where I definitely hold back, but I'm more of, I'm just not going to say anything than saying something that I don't really believe.
Yeah.
There are times where I have, you know, where I will have a conversation because like being an atheist, you know, when it comes about talking about religion and mm-hmm. stuff like that, I sometimes, depending, like I just judge who I'm with and based on who I'm with and the conversation they're having, determining whether they're open-minded enough for me to even say it. Otherwise, I just shut up. I don't talk about politics. I don't talk about religion with certain people because that's one of those things that I'm not going to lie about the way that I feel. And so I'd rather not have that conversation rather than alienate people. So I just can't, like, I'm not going to, if they're like, oh, you know, this Donald Trump, he's an amazing president. I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, he's done some really great things. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that for anyone.
So to answer your question, who was it? Esteban? Was that who asked the question?
Yes,
way back when?
I believe so.
You know, like neither of us are contrived, or we've never had a problem not being that contrived, right? So I guess we can come at it, I guess you could come at it from a perspective of, well, you guys are just that way naturally. It's harder for the rest of us. But let us be your inspiration to allow a little bit more vulnerability into your life and into your content, to work that contrived crap out of your life, right? Out of your world. And maybe it'd be interesting to hear from people who have learned how to not be contrived and that process that they went through. Because both of us just naturally kind of go that route. But at the same time, I would say, you know, I have hidden a lot about, you know, my personal life over the terms of my content career. And so, you know, you kind of learn how to let out what you want and not talk about what you don't want. Not everything. We're not saying that everything has to be talked about, right? Like, not everything has to be out there.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is I'm willing to talk about anything.
Well, you are, because
I'm completely willing. If anybody asks me a question, I will answer it. I don't care what, I don't care how
private.
I will talk about, I'll go buy tampons. You know,
yeah.
I know guys that will not go buy tampons. I don't care about that stuff. I will buy.
Then that's the beauty of you.
Well, not to a lot of people. It really is not.
That's true.
To a lot, it is really affected.
That's the polarizing part of you.
My relationships, especially mm-hmm. girlfriend, boyfriend,
right.
It really affects that because of, I mean, it almost makes me feel cold in a way. Cold-hearted.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah. Like, it's so weird because your personality is so different. We're going off on a different tangent here.
This is
here,
fun.
But
this is what it's about.
But, like, you are what I love about you is that you are the most giving, caring, big-hearted person I've ever known. Like, you love to take care of people so much so that you give away all our shit. I'm like, why are you doing that? We could sell that. You just give it away to people who need it. It's terrible. No, but you are such a giving person. And I love that about you. But on the other hand, because you're so unwilling to compromise, it's like, where's this big warm-hearted guy?
Yeah, but it's like,
and you'll just say what you think.
Right, but what, like, that's the thing I'm asking. Like, what is it that you would be expecting a compromise on? Because is it a compromising on who I am?
Is this helpful at all to people?
Of course it is, because this is what we're talking about when you're creating content. And you're being 100% yourself. You can be 100% yourself. You can be 50% yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what percentage of yourself are you going to put out there? I put out 100% because I don't care.
True. And I would say that, like, I put out 100% of myself for the most part.
Well, no, you don't. You're
part.
Not talking like a sailor yet.
That's true.
You did just
that
say
episode,
shit. You did just say shit.
That episode is coming. But... Back in the day, the Callie Lewis days, there was a lot about my life, my personal life, to hide, right? So bad relationships, bad stuff going on. And so there was a lot to hide. And so I did not actually deliver all, but I delivered all of me. How do you classify that? I feel like I 100% gave to my audience.
Right, but you didn't.
Was.
You gave 100% of Callie Lewis, which was not 100% of Luria.
But from the way I care,
from
the way I interact with my community, that's all 100% me.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right? So
totally.
That was the thing that I gave all of. So I just didn't give all of individual pieces of my life,
right,
of what's happening behind the scenes.
Right.
I did not give all of that because that was bad.
But what I'm getting at, I think, is that I don't just throw that information out there either, but I'm 100% willing if asked. You,
right,
on the other hand,
no,
would
I would
not,
have
if
hidden,
asked,
totally.
You would have hit it. Totally.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to give all of your information to everybody. You do not. That is like your personal information.
That,
however,
like your privacy line is your privacy line.
But if you're willing to do that for your community, that's, I think, the difference.
Yeah.
Because then you're being real. You don't have to share that stuff unless you're asked and you're willing to, because then they're seeing a part of you that, you know, I mean,
yeah,
you should never be ashamed of anything that you've done that's been wrong or bad or anything like that, because
right,
it's all part of what has made the person that they're watching create content.
True. But I would say I have had this need to, if I'm going to be vulnerable, I always try and turn it around to a lesson. So if you notice, like if I say, oh, well, I suck at this. Well, here's how. So
for you or for them?
For everybody involved, right? So for them primarily, for the viewer. So for example, my email that I sent out an email this morning about this last week going back to the gym. I was like, it sucks, right? The first week back sucks because I'm heaving and I'm looking at everybody around me at the gym and I'm like, oh my God, they're so much better than me. They're just breezing right through their workout. I suck. If I can't be perfect, I don't want them to see me yet. So I want to get to perfection before I see them, right? So I'm having all of these thoughts throughout the week at the gym. And in an email that I sent out today to my email list, I talked about that. But I always wrap it into a lesson. I'm not just going to talk about the fact that, oh, I suck at the gym. I'm going to wrap it into a lesson for my audience.
But why?
Because I'm a teacher at
heart. I know,
but listen. Because that's who I am.
I know, but think about this. If you give them the raw, exact thing that happened without trying to give them a lesson, maybe the lesson they got from it would be their own. Something that they pulled out of it.
Damn, that's good, David.
You know what I mean? That you didn't, you're trying to force the lesson that you got out of it on them, where the lesson could be completely different for them if you're just more real with exactly how you feel, exactly what happened.
But it was how exactly I felt.
No, I know, but that's fine. Use it as a teaching moment, but you got the lesson. Let them pull the lesson out of the same information without forcing it on them. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, if I read that...
Yeah, but some people are going to be like, well, what the hell am I reading? Why are you emailing me about your day at the gym or your week at the gym and you sucked?
Right, but you don't have to say, here's what you can do. You can say, this is what I learned.
Yeah.
You can still explain what you learned without saying, now what did you learn? You know, like don't, it's almost.
Well, so here's what I did. Here's what I learned about myself is that this is like an issue with my perfectionism, that I want to be perfect before I go to the gym to see, so that everybody just sees me in my perfection zone, not my discomfort zone. And I said, but what I've been, my mantra for the week has been start messy. And so Sunny had shared an Instagram post that I've been like holding on to tight this week, and is about starting messy and not being perfect, because you can't get to that end result that you want without being messy. And so I kind of translated that into what people I know focus on with live video, is that they want to be perfect before anybody sees them. Right. And so that's how I always translate my life experiences into a lesson. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I honestly don't think there's anything wrong with it either. But I think that the fact that you're going about it like you have to give people a lesson to talk about something like that, you don't. Because just by watching us, just by listening to us have conversations, stuff like that, people get their own lessons out of it. They learn their own thing. You know, like I think there is a place for, like, you know, the courses. I mean, that's what we're trying to teach people to do. We are teaching people things. We are giving them lessons, but you know, when it comes to personal life things, I think that's a little bit different, in my opinion. So, I think if a lot more people thought about it, like, if you're going to build a community, you know, be genuine, be who you are, because people are going to connect with you, and be willing to give 100%, be willing to answer any question.
Yeah.
If somebody's asking, then that's something they're dealing with. And if you have something that you can share, no matter, I mean, I guess the only time I can see like holding it back would be to protect somebody else that might not, you know, like that kind of situation. But other than that, I generally will drop names and everything. I generally, you know what I mean?
That's a really important thing for people to hear. If somebody's asking a question, it's something that they're dealing with.
Right.
That's something I don't think a lot of content creators realize or actually think through, is that when you are being vulnerable and being open and honest about your experience, you are there to help others, right? In some form or fashion. And so you can have a much bigger impact on people by being open and honest and allowing them to take their own lessons from it or deal with it their way based on what you're dealing with. Because when people are going through crap, they need a role model. We all do. It's human. Like, we all look to somebody else who's been through it. And so, like, for example, when I was going through when I went through to my divorce, like, I didn't share much at all, but when I did share some of those pieces, the people who needed it at that time in their life responded very emotionally, right? And so that was a major help to them when I actually share. I didn't share. Look, at first, I didn't share anything about my divorce.
Right.
It was nasty, right? But so that I kept, that was my privacy line. But had I shared some of it, it would have helped others. And so that's something you have to realize as a content creator. No, you're not going to become a therapist. That's not your mission in life. But
also, you need to think, how strong of a community do you want to create?
Right.
Because the more honest you are, the more open you are, the deeper your connection with your community will be. Mm-hmm. And it's the difference between when you guys meet, you like embrace because you have like shared your deepest, darkest stuff with them. They've shared it with you. And you have a connection that is just like one of the deepest connections you can have.
Yeah.
But if you hide that, if you don't talk about, and you're not willing to talk about things, like if somebody comes in like, oh, you look like you've been crying today. No, I got hay fever, you know,
and
you've
been bawling your eyes out.
Right. You've been bawling your eyes out for something. And you would happen to just take the time and talk about it. That very person might get something that would completely change their life because they're going through the exact same thing. And they might have a lesson for you.
Right.
You know, that you're closing off to. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when I want to build a community, I want my community to know exactly who the hell I am. I want them to know what they're getting and connect with me for who I am. Because then when they meet me in real life, if they ever do, they're not getting anything different. Right. They're going to be like, that dude is just like he is on video. Where there's some people that I've met and been like, this person is nothing like they are on video.
Yeah.
You know, and it's off-putting. It was off-putting when I first met you.
What?
Because you were Callie Lewis, and then all of a sudden you're Luria Petrucci. Like, with the name, it just like threw me for a loop. Like, wait, what?
Her name's... Wait, you didn't know I was Luria Petrucci? Wait, what?
No, after I emailed you, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant when we finally met.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's still weird. It was still weird because couldn't call you that. I'd have to call you Callie. No matter where we went.
Right, right.
You know, because when people came to visit, you were Callie Lewis, and you didn't, like,
yeah.
They didn't know your name. So it was like, I had to play into that.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Otherwise, it starts a weird conversation. And so it's like, I just feel like if you really, really, really are about community, you should be willing to talk about and share anything. Otherwise, just create content.
At the end of the day, don't feel like you have to go all out like David is saying. Like, I think that's a beautiful thing. And I would say if you're struggling with it, maybe you start with just something small, right? And mm-hmm. you work your way into it if that's something that you struggle with.
Here's a great example. Amy Porterfield.
Yes.
She has an amazing community.
Incredible.
They love her. Mm-hmm. They love her. They love her. But it wasn't until this last year she shared about her weight problems.
Yes.
She got into a personal thing and it changed the dynamic of her community.
No, you know what the first one was that she realized where she had to be a little bit more open about her personal life was when she had her husband on the podcast and they talked about some personal stuff. And she was like, she told me, she was like, that was the most downloaded podcast episode ever. Like, why? That doesn't make any sense to me. I give value after value after value, and that was the one. I was like, yes, like that is the one, because people love the personal stuff and that reaction, right? And then I think that gave her a little bit of motivation or awareness that it would be okay to talk about the weight issue, right?
Right.
And so, like, it was a journey for her, for sure. So it was a small bit here and then there. And then the podcast episode, if I think back to the journey for her, she tested some stuff between that podcast with her husband and then the weight issue podcast, like the one, right, that a lot of people know about. And so it was, there were steps in between, so you don't have to like dive all the way in if that's freaking you out.
And but it does freak you out, you know, like it does freak people out to think that you're putting yourself out there. But the thing is, you have to understand everybody has their things that they're going through. There's nothing that, I mean, unless you have some really weird fetish, you know, which you'll still get people to connect with you around those really weird fetishes. So
you will.
Even that, don't be afraid
to
put it out there.
Hey, look at ASMR right now.
Right, ASMR. Don't be afraid to put it out there, but still, I don't know.
Randy in the chat room says it was, I met Luria in 2006. It was a dark moment in my life. Her enthusiasm for life and genuineness helped me by reinforcing that there are still good folks out there. It was simple but priceless for me at that point in my life. Now I'm past all of that. That's amazing, Randy. Thank you for that. And that just proves like you can help people just by being truly authentically you.
Thanks for following Oto Pro. Welcome.
And Tamara said, your authenticity will attract your tribe, right? You can be 100% yourself, but there are different parts of us to share at different times. We are multifaceted.
I agree.
Sure.
I agree. There's a time and place. I mean, but the thing is, like, you can also put limitations on yourself, because if you're having a bad day, something happened, and you go into your community and they're all happy and all that other stuff, and you feel like you're going to bring down the mood if you share that. But that is an experience that you are going through right then and there. And those are the people that will help you through it. They will listen. They will give feedback. They will send you emotes and you know what I mean? But if you hide that moment, you're still going to end up going through it on your own. And so I feel like if you're dealing with something or you feel like you want to say something, just say it and see how they react. You know, I mean, like if they react badly, then just, you know, I don't see that happening. Because if you've built your community right based on who you are from the very beginning.
Right. Now, if you completely change it on them,
if you're
like,
if you're doing
hell?
Like, You know, you're doing this professional podcast on your business. You're a real estate agent, and it's all like buying real estate. And the next thing you come in, you're like, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
That would be completely inappropriate at that time, right?
Because these people are like following you based on what they think you, who they think you are. And all of a sudden, you just throw this big bag at them. They're going to be like, what the hell just happened? I am getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a way to do this, right? So that's a good point, is that if you haven't built that from the beginning, you got to kind of ease them into it. And you can't just lay on your heaviest moments in life right from the get-go. It just, that would be scary.
Yeah.
That would be like somebody, like a stranger, because at that point, like they love you, but or they're following your content. But
they're strange
they
to
are
your
stranger.
Personality.
Yeah.
Or
so
to who you really
stranger.
Are.
So when your neighbor, this would be a better example of in-person examples. Your neighbor, who you see and talk to from time to time, right? He's just like,
or
hi,
wave at,
or wave at, right? And go to the mailbox together, whatever. So you see them, and then all of a sudden, they just walk up to you, and they are just like pouring their heart out at you. You're like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. I didn't know we were friends. That would be a perfect example of how that would go down.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. That's a good analogy. But yeah, I mean, it's just... I just feel like if you guys really want to see what you can do when you make deep connections like that, it's better. No matter, even if you're a business person and you're getting ready to start a podcast, just start it with that in mind of just being yourself.
Yeah.
Just being exactly who you are, flaws and all. You know, if you're somebody who doesn't want to put on a nice sweater and nice slacks and go talk, then wear your pajamas. Like,
yeah,
don't be afraid to just be comfortable, and because the more comfortable you are, the more comfortable they're going to be.
Yeah. Oh, and Michael Hyatt is a great example of this that you're talking about, like your jeans versus slacks or whatever. I have been on a like tear, like it's just like I love when he how he has started over the last year to really embrace his personal side, because he's a really funny guy, like very humorous, very geeky, very relaxed guy. But his business personality that you see online has traditionally been very CEO-like. And that is who he is. He is a CEO. He has been for his whole career. Well, not his whole career. I guess you don't start out as a CEO.
No.
but that's who he identifies himself as a CEO, right? And a leader. And he has really worked hard over the last year to be more personal and be more like, literally he and his wife Gail did an Instagram live from their bed. Like they were literally lying in bed
like
with their
John
heads
and Yoko.
On pillow, and it was a beautiful thing. But I was talking to his daughter, who actually works on his social media team, and
Marissa, who's also awesome.
Oh, freaking awesome.
His whole family is amazing.
Really, seriously. Anyway, so Marissa and I were talking about this concept of being just down to earth and being yourself. And she was like, but he just actually wears, like, he doesn't wear a suit and tie, but he wears those, you know, professional shirts all the time. Like, that's just who he is. And so I was like, well, then that's who he is.
Right.
Then wear it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, if he's comfortable in that gear,
I'm a sweatshirt and t-shirt kind of guy.
Yeah.
You don't get
don't
me
change
in a suit.
It.
Right.
But, you know, you gotta be who you are actually, and not feel like, we're not saying like be who you are and that only means sweatshirt and jeans. Doesn't. It just means
unless
who
that's
you are. Unless that is you.
Like me. That's me.
What did you take away from this? What was your lesson? I'm not going to tell you what your lesson is.
Yeah.
What was your lesson? Leave us a message on Anchor or send us a social message. And we'll have links in our descriptions and stuff for where you can find us. But we would love, love, love to hear from you. If you can't tell, community is our number one thing, and we love connecting with you. Mm-hmm. So don't let this podcast just be a listen-only podcast. Please let it be interactive for you and connect with us and the rest of the community.
And Dustrick is saying, go watch some Queer Eye and learn a few things about personal image. You know what? I know a lot about personal image. I know what I could wear. I have the clothes up in my closet. I do. I have the stuff.
He looks good when he dresses up.
I have a bow tie. I have three bow ties. So I can do it.
Thank you so much for listening and hanging out with us. And we look forward to your feedback. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yep. Thank you. And again, remember, we record these live on social every Monday. Well, we're trying to, but anyway, if you want to, head over and follow us on all the socials at either Live Streaming Pros or Impartial Geek. And
again, links in the description.
Yep, links are in the description. And we will see you or next talk week. To you next time.
We won't see you. No, not on the podcast.
We'll see you live, people. We'll hear you, podcast people, or
oh
you'll
God,
hear
this
us.
Is way too,
wow.
This is confusing.
It really
we're gonna,
is.
We're going to figure this one out. Oh. Bye.